I am too busy to grow old. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with instant illumination. I am too busy to grow old. Now, what does it mean to be too busy to grow old? Ellen has just spent a day with my brother. And my brother is 81 years old or something, and he is having all sorts of things that have say to him that he's old. And he's gone through a lot of tough experiences and good experiences. And Ellen went up there because she is the executrix of his estate. And he wanted to make sure that she knew where all the goodies were kept. And so Ellen spent the day with him going through all of the goodies to know where they're to go and who they're to go with and what they're to do and how his ashes are supposed to be, you know, splashed over the ocean or whatever, you know, nothing special. But Ellen says, but you're not going to die. And he said, well, when I do, I'm dead, you know, and no big deal, you know. And he said, I'm sort of looking forward to it because I'm interested to see what's happening in the next dimension, you know, what I'm going to experience. And Ellen said, wow, what a cool attitude about death and about moving on, you know. And so Ellen was talking to him, and he was describing all the projects. And Ellen says, don't you get lonely being by yourself here? Don't you? Lonely? I have too much to do. I have too many things to do. I go out once a week. I treat myself to a nice meal, and then I make my meals here. I have a freezer out in my shed, and I keep all of my steaks in there and other things that I enjoy. And he says, I have women coming in 3 times a week to clean my house and make it all beautiful. And he said, then I have, I go to visit David at the hospital and take the bus, and then I have Tipper with me, my dog, and Tipper is just everywhere I am, and Tipper has a special badge that allows him to go on the buses, because Tipper is my seeing eye dog, and Tipper is about like maybe a little Jack Russell Terrier. It's a couple feet long, not even a couple feet, a foot and a half maybe, and maybe a half a foot high or 10 inches high, something like that. Not very terribly big, but Tipper is his seeing eye dog, and he forgets to get Tipper half the time when he's walking around. He just is trucking all over the place, doing all the things he has to do, and feeling just full of spit and vinegar. And Ellen says she has never met anyone who was theoretically at those years who was so chipper, except for Josephine and for Dorothea. Dorothea is 87. And Dorothea drives her Jeep all over the place, and lives on the second floor. She keeps her healthy, and she trucks up and down those stairs several times a day, doing whatever she's doing. And, of course, Ingeborg's husband, how old is he now? 90-something or other? 91. Well, he lives on the seventh floor, and Trieste. In Trieste, in Italy, and so every day he trucks up and down those staircases 2 or 3 times, because he's got to go down, see his girlfriends, and see the other people that are interesting in his life, and he's just a fantastic guy. And he went to the hospital the other day, and they said, that's it, he's conking out. And so Ingeborg went to visit him, because they'd been separated for many, 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 many years, but he still hopes she'd come back. And so she went to visit him, and what happened? She says, you're okay. And he walked up to his apartment and started entertaining, you know. And so she says, well, I'm not needed here. And so every time she gets a word from him that there's a momentary lapse, she blesses him and does her practitioner work for him, and he's back on his feet in no time, and because he's eternally young. You see, I'm too busy to grow old. And it's wonderful. I was thinking of the fellow who had the books over in Europe. He's from here. He had the churches, and you've read him
Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy.
Joseph
Murphy. Yeah, well, Joseph Murphy is in his 80s. And Joseph Murphy would go to INTA and speak. He would go to Europe and speak at the Murphy Club. He would travel all over the world. And I went to visit him, and he was in his late 80s. And while I was there, he says, "Well, you know, Herb, you think just like we do, you know, so I'm going to get behind you and sponsor you in some activities that I do." And I said, "That's fine. I love it." So then we had a good talk together. And he said, "Well, enough of this chitter-chatter. I got to go to work." So he went into his office where he had his typewriters and his books. And he was writing new books, constantly writing new books. He in his late 80s and he's writing new books. And why not? Why not? And he has his wife there who was his secretary for a long time. And she does all the itsy-bitsy work that goes into it. But it's Joseph Murphy that the book sells through. And he just did great. And then just as we were about to have our showdown, he decided to take off for the other dimension. And left me without his attention. I got his love, but not his attention. But you see, he was too busy to grow old. He was too busy to grow old. He may have been in his 80s, you know, just like Dorothea is 87, and they're too busy. Dorothea goes to the day-old bakery store with the day-old sweet rolls and stuff, and she picks up boxes of sweet rolls, and she takes them to the elderly. She's 87, and she takes them to the elderly. And the elderly are in their 70s, mostly. You know? But here she is taking them sweet rolls to ruin their teeth, you know. At the age of 70s, she's ruining their teeth. But she doesn't mind. And then when she talks to us, she's always talking about health food ideas and health food this and health food that. And, you know, bless her heart. She's just, you know, going like great guns. And she will all of her life because she's too busy to grow old. She's just too busy. And she's just filled with joy. And so we got her a computer, and she's supposed to learn it and do email now. And so she's working on it. She's taking a class in computers from the lady who runs the apartment house that she has, you know. And, you know, never ending. When you start growing old is when you lose interest in life. When you lose interest in doing things that are fun and doing things that are supportive and doing things that are wonderful. I told the story often of when I was a kid, and that was last year. And I was selling encyclopedias. And as I went to sell encyclopedias at this one house, this old man comes to the door. He couldn't have been more than his 60s, but he looked like an old man to me. And he says, "I don't want any encyclopedias. I'm too old to learn anything." And I said, "My goodness, you know, what about your kids? They're not here. What about your grandkids?" "Well, they come over." And I said, "When they come over, do you want them to think you're stupid, that you're not up on the latest things, you know? And you buy the encyclopedia, and you have this great raft of books there, and then you have something to leave to the kids when you die." He says, "Oh, what are you trying to do? I'm not dying." And I said, "But, you know, you're never too old to learn." And, of course, I was in my 20s, you know. "But you're never too old to learn." And so he bought them. And that's just good salesmanship. But even then, all along, I've been encouraging people, you're never too old to learn. When I went to see Charles Fillmore, I had met him several times while I was working in Silent Unity, but I went to visit him with a number of the students students who were student ministers in Unity. And we went to his house, and his house was right near the Unity farm, and in fact, across the road. And we had a nice visit with him, and he was 90 whatever it was, but in the 90s, and he was just as chipper as could be and just as happy as could be, and we talked to him about the philosophy, and he was up on everything, and why not? They have a number of people who are old, they say, 106, 111, and those people had no intention of dying. They had no intention of doing anything but keeping busy and enjoying life. And they say now that if you live to be 70, you will live to be 90. And if you live to be 80, you'll live to be 100 now. Because the length of life is just getting longer and longer and longer. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, it will keep on having that experience as long as we have an interest in living. When remember not too many years ago, 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when a person was 70, they were really old, you know? When a person was in their late 60s, they're over the hill and ready to cut out. And a lot of them did, just because they were old. But a lot of them thought they were young. They thought, hey, you know, I'm ready for my next career, my next job that I'm going to go to and do things. And it's wonderful. And today, the federal government has created rules for industry that you cannot discriminate against a person for sex, for what do you say?
Race,
sex, and some, and age. You cannot discriminate against a person from hiring them because of their age. And, you know, women want to get hired, and women, they say, I want to get hired. Well, you look like you're pregnant. Yes, I am. Well, you mean in just so many months you're going to have the pregnancy leave? Yeah, that's the way it is, you know. Well, how do you know if you have cancer? How do you know if you're going to die? How do you know if you're going to live? You know, what difference does it make, pregnancy or anything else? It's just something foredrawn. And what the federal government is also doing, it is not allowing business and industry to have knowledge of a person's non-contagious disease. So if a person has cancer or something like that, that cannot be held against them, it cannot be in their records. Because this way, the person can go to work, he can go to work 10, 20 years. I mean, some people go to work 2 or 3 years and they get fired and quit and stuff like that. And what difference does it make? And it's eternal youth. And I think that's a great step. That's a great step that's being taken where age is no longer being held as a criteria for getting a job or losing a job. You know, I'm too busy to grow old. And as long as we have that attitude of mind, we're it. I tell everybody I'm 25, and people say, yeah, sure you are, you know. And that's the way I feel, that's the way I act, and that's the way I am. And what else is there? I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.